It's been 4 days since the collapse of Bashar al-Assad's regime in Syria, and a new era has dawned for the country. But what will it mean for the Syrian people? An interim government has been formed, and there are signs of normality returning with the reopening of shops in the capital, Damascus. But much uncertainty remains. Israel is continuing its attacks, confirming yesterday that it had carried out more than 350 airstrikes on targets across Syria. Dominic Waghorn is the Sky News International Affairs Editor in Damascus. Good morning, Dominic. Much to talk about, but let's begin with this new interim government. Who is it being led by and what do we know about it so far?
Yeah, and bear with me if the line comes and goes. It's quite bad communications here, but good to be with you this morning, Joan. The situation really here is that, as you say, it's fairly calm, and what the new revolutionary government is trying to do is to usher in a sort of transition to a new civilian form of government, having taken control of the country in this lightning military advance. So they've announced a new cabinet, and I think some Syrians will be concerned about its composition. They are all Islamists, they're all Sunni, so none of them are drawn from the other denominations of this very kaleidoscopic, religiously made-up country. But it's being led by a new conservative Islamist from the province of Idlib, but the old prime minister is also staying on as a prime minister. So they're trying to maintain continuity. What happened yesterday was the leader of the revolution, Muhammad al-Jilani, who led this extraordinary advance from Idlib through Aleppo and then Hama and then Homs, taking Damascus, the likes of which we haven't seen. The very quick conquest of Arab in the past. He told Sky News that the outside world has nothing to fear from his revolution. He said the fears in the past were based on the fact that the country was run by Assad and his Iranian and Russian colonizers, as he called them. And he said what he needs to do now, what Syria needs to most of all, is to be rebuilt. Mm. And he's asking the outside world to help. And he's saying that the outside world has nothing to fear from his government. So I think, you know, we'll have to see how Western powers, other powers react to that, how they deal with the fact that this man is from an al-Qaeda offshoot organization.
Yeah, but also, how reassuring will his words be, given that Hayat Tahrir al-Sham is, as you said, a terrorist organization prescribed as such in many Western countries?
Yeah, it's prescribed, as you say, because it's regarded as a terrorist organization and because its roots are in an al-Qaeda offshoot. And that is, I think, deeply disturbing, not just to people outside of Syria, but to many Syrians. You know, one man in the Grand Bazaar in Damascus said to me that he was concerned and worried and said there were fears behind the celebrations that we've seen here. There is a certain amount of anxiety about this extremist group. It says it's changed, and it says it's now going to change even more now that it has power in Syria. And I think, you know, if you're looking from the outside world, on the one hand, there are those concerns. On the other hand, this is a very important country strategically. It's on the crossroads of the Middle East. It's, you know, right in the heart of the region. It's bordering so many countries. That position, the Assad government leveraged for years. And we can expect this new government to do the same. It's a country you can't afford to ignore, whatever your qualms about the extremist roots of its new rulers.
Now, it appears that Israel is not prepared to give this new government the benefit of the doubt, targeting military sites across the country and even sending troops into Syria and beyond a buffer zone that was established following the 1973 war there. Have there been any developments on that front overnight?
Well, I think not quite overnight, but I think towards the end of yesterday, they basically sank the Syrian Navy, which is based in its port in Latakia. It was a fleet of aging vintage vessels, and the Israelis say that they are only going after strategic weapons. So that's a fairly loose interpretation of that, you know, aging vintage antique vessels in a port 300 kilometres from Israel. Mm-hmm. But the Israelis say they're acting in self-defence. Now, that's a kind of, you know, it's a fairly novel interpretation of the concept of self-defense, doing it preemptively. We'll have to see what international law experts make of that. But that's certainly their explanation for that. And also the buffer zone they've taken. They've taken a chunk of Syria in the south. I mean, you have to say that this country has obviously changed from being backed by Iranians, who are Israel's sworn enemies, to a completely new kind of government. But as you say, they're not being given the benefit of the doubt by their neighbours to the south.
How are Israel's actions being viewed in Syria? How are people viewing these actions?
I think they're alarmed by them. And I think it adds to the kind of post-revolutionary jitters. I don't think they're surprised by them because they've seen the Israelis do this for years against the old regime. And they're angry. And what they say is that if the Israelis say they're going after chemical weapons stockpiles, they don't believe they exist because they think the Yad really handed them all over in the deal that was done during the Obama years. So I think, you know, it doesn't ease the kind of nerves that Syrians have about the future here. And it certainly isn't going to make them the Israelis any new friends in this new Syria.
Before I let you go, Dominic, it's been an incredible few days for the country. How are people on the ground in Damascus feeling now?
I'd say the feeling is still really one of elation, of euphoria, of people letting it sink in. You know, they have been traumatized for half a century by this family who've ruled Syria like gangsters, like their own personal fiefdom. And as one man said to me as we wandered through one of Assad's palaces in Damascus 2 days ago, he said, "This feels like a dream. You know, I can't believe I'm here. All I knew about this place was the gates outside. Now I'm inside." And also I feel hugely sad because I see how he was living in this luxury and I know how we were living. This mother from Idlib said, you know, he was living in the sky, we were living in the dirt.
Dominic Waghorn.
It's one of celebration still and relief, but I think of there is anxiety in the...
Some technical problems there in the line. Dominic Waghorn, Sky News International Affairs Editor in Damascus, thank you very much for joining us.